Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
23. From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. An epic biography of FDR by a preeminent presidential historian. Tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Robert Dalek is the author of numerous presidential biographies, An Unfinished Life, John F. Kennedy, Nixon and Kissinger, Flawed Giant, Lyndon Johnson and His Times, Harry S. Truman, Reagan, The Politics of Symbolism. He's a Pulitzer Prize finalist. And this latest, destined to become the definitive FDR history, is Franklin D. Roosevelt, A Political Life. Welcome, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you very much. You know, and one thing I'll say, this is a great read. You know, sometimes these big, huge presidential biographies are so dense to get through. This thing reads so easily. And
thank you.
Whatever the touch is. Let me just ask you first, because so much has been written about this guy.
What's
the single biggest insight or most surprising thing that you think you uncovered?
Well, you know, there are two things, but I would say, why in the first place did I conclude I should write a biography of FDR? Well, the publisher came to me and said, it's been 8 years since we've had a big one volume on FDR. Would you like to do it? So I said, sure. I said, but what particularly appealed to me about it is that people are so disillusioned about politics. The feelings in the country are so negative. There's a kind of downcast view. And I think it's well to go back and look at a president who was so effective and so popular. You know, Jim, and all the time he was in the White House, his approval rating never went below 50%, at least according to the Gallup poll. So that was a significant appeal to me in doing this. But what I found most striking was the diaries of his cousin, Margaret Daisy Suckley, because Roosevelt played his cards very close to the vest. And he would talk to her candidly, and he'd say things like, you know, Daisy, I'm going to tell you this. I don't say it to anybody else, and I know you won't repeat it. So he would open himself up to her about a variety of things, both personal and political. The other thing that I found interesting was that his health was very much in decline, yeah, beginning in 1940, that he was already suffering from congestive heart failure. And he was getting the results of the 1940 election in his dining room at Hyde Park, his ancestral home. And suddenly he said to his Secret Service agent, don't let anybody in, close the door. And he said, the agent said in response, not even Mrs. Roosevelt. He said, I told you nobody. Well, he was sweating profusely. He was in great pain. And he was having an angina attack, you see. It was evidence of the beginnings of his congestive heart failure. And then there were episodes later over the next several years of him on the floor in pain. His son, son, one of his sons, describing how he was writhing in pain and how he could barely get up after this passed to go out and do some political business. So it was really a demonstration to me of how much he struggled with his health. And of course, we know now from the fact that he died, of course, April 12, 1945, shortly after he was inaugurated into his fourth term. And a few months before, February of 45, Winston Churchill's physician, Lord Moran, saw him at the Yalta Conference and said, "The president is suffering from hardening of the arteries of the brain. He'll be dead in 3 months' time." And, of course, he was quite right.
That was one of the things that hit me in the book is his health. And you think about JFK's health being covered up and FDR's and now maybe even Trump's, who they say is so healthy, but he's obese. So let me ask you a quick comparison today. You got FDR, Churchill, De Gaulle. These are giants. Greatness. Yep. We've had Trump, Obama, George W. the last three. Is it the times, or are we running out of greatness?
Well, you know, there's always a moment when you can have greatness, but it depends on what the challenges are, you see. And, of course, Roosevelt and Churchill faced extraordinary challenges that, of course, made them larger than life as they overcame these things. And, because the difference now is that there are, of course, always challenges that presidents face. But even if there aren't big challenges, someone like Donald Trump is, you know, a relative pygmy alongside of people like Roosevelt and Churchill and Harry Truman, see. So Lyndon Johnson, who, of course, stumbled horribly by getting into that Vietnam War and refusing to give up on it. And, of course, the achievements he had at the domestic level were unprecedented.
Did you, in your own mind, having written about FDR, Truman, JFK, LBJ, and Reagan, did you see similarities, or what struck you in the sort of maybe the fun that you had in getting to know each guy?
Yeah, well, that's true, you know, Jim. You do get have fun getting to know each of them. And that's part of the appeal of doing this kind of work, that you're going to have a kind of relationship with, even though all these men are dead, but still it's like you get to know them in very specific ways. So it is a kind of, has a kind of appeal to me, but also that you want to reach an audience, and you want to tell people about what these presidents were like and what they did and what they failed to do, and giving it a candid assessment in the hopes that people are going to find past presidents, unlike the current leader, much more appealing.
You know, I was kind of surprised in a bit what a great politician you describe him, and surprised that for all the innovation and leadership that he made a big thing of not getting out ahead of the public too much. He was slow on isolationism and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was very shrewd that way. You know, he could be a half step ahead of the public, and but they would see him as an extraordinary leader. But he understood that in American domestic, rather democratic politics, it was a very bad idea to try and get too far ahead of the public. And he found that to be the case when he tried to pack the court in 1937. It was a real turndown for him. And then, of course, in 38, he tried to purge the Democratic Party of the conservative opponents, especially lots of people from the South, officeholders from the South. And he saw that he had to be very careful. But, you know, great politicians, I still teach university students, and I tell them, nobody can teach you how to be a great politician. Yeah. There's a certain intuitive quality to it. Yeah, you want to know about who these men were and how they worked their magic and achieved as much as they did, but by the same token, there's something intuitive. Roosevelt had polls. Polls began, became available in the mid-1930s, 1935. But Roosevelt relied on his intuition in part, in significant part, and he would take these jaunts going across the country and stopping in different places. But also, he'd send Eleanor and Harry Hopkins and Harold Ickes, who were all part of his administration, his team, and they'd report to him on what they were finding in Chicago, in Wyoming, in California, and he had a feel for this. You know, others did too. Someone like Theodore Roosevelt was extraordinary in that regard. So I think that the greatest politicians in American politics, at least, have this intuitive feel. Reagan had that and was able to lead the country using that talent.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Business Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. And you can go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen over the internet, access our archive of podcasts. We're going to look close at the New Deal coming up next with Bob Dalek.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our Discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@BizTV.com.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-6 607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with presidential historian Robert Balick on FDR's legacy. We're going to look at the New Deal right now. Bob, how much was this alphabet soup, very entrepreneurial, trial and error? How much was choreographed versus improvised?
Well, I think most of it was improvised, because Roosevelt later said that everything I learned about economics at Harvard proved to be wrong. See? And what he did was to work like heck to figure out what was going to work. Now, of course, he did not solve the Depression. We know that the Depression was ended by industrial mobilization beginning in 1930, 1940,
right,
and, of course, the onset of the Second World War. But he did, with the New Deal, something that, as I see it, was more important. He humanized the American capitalist system, the American industrial system. They put into place things like the Security and Exchange Commission, the Rural Electrification Administration, the Tennessee Valley Authority, Social Security, the Wages and Hours Act, which, of course, operates to this day, minimum wage, maximum hours, all the dams that were put into place in the hopes of conservation, of preserving America's natural resources and reducing floods and disasters of that kind. And so what you had was an administration that was providing what Reagan later called a safety net, you see, so that people with unemployment insurance now and with Social Security and with something like Medicare, which, of course, comes later in 1965 under Lyndon Johnson. But it's all part of this legacy of the Roosevelt New Deal. And he gives the government a different role in American life. And it's never going to be rolled back to the degree that some conservatives have been yelling about for decades. So people are wedded to Social Security and to Medicare. Is anybody going to try and get rid of the Tennessee Valley Authority, you know, which helped to make that part of the Upper South more prosperous than it had ever been before? So it's a legacy which will stay in place, I think, for as long as this republic lasts.
And a lot of people don't realize how bad things were, right? 25% unemployment.
Yep. Yes, it was a real disaster, that that stock market collapse in 29, and then the escalating unemployment. And, you know, young women who worked in textile mills in New England at that time in 1931, 32, you know what they were paid an hour? 17.5 cents.
Yeah.
17.5 cents. I mean, if they could get a 10-hour day, they could make 75 cents, and it meant something in 1931. So it really was a time of great suffering and deprivation, and the sense that the American dream was maybe coming to an end.
Now, let's
remember also, Jim, that this was a time when you had fascism in Italy, Nazism in Germany, communism in Russia, and the question was, can the American capitalist system measure up to these other ideologies?
Well put, yeah. Everything on the line. I was amazed by the statistic that the worker wages went from $50 billion to $30 billion. I mean, that's just an unbelievable cut in everybody's life style. Let's switch over now a little bit. What about Eleanor? What about their relationship? And I didn't realize how idealistic she was and how political he was. And she's cold. He's a narcissist. How do you talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, Eleanor Roosevelt was, at the end of the day, probably the greatest first lady in American history, but their personal relationship was very strained. She had discovered in 1918 that he had an affair with her secretary, beautiful young woman, and it put a terrible strain on their marriage. She offered to divorce him. And Roosevelt's principal political advisor, Louis Howe, said it will destroy your political career and your political ambitions. Of course, it was nothing like later when Reagan, who was the first divorced president in American history, and now we have Trump, who's on his third marriage. So the mores, in the sense, in the country have changed. But in Roosevelt's day, if he had been divorced, it probably would have killed his political career. But they managed to stay together. They, of course, had five children, and they grew together. And she was the voice of the left in his administration. She was someone who was always prodding him about rights for African Americans, for Mexican Americans, for Jews. And Roosevelt, of course, he understood that she was representative of a mood, a shift, a change in the country. What's striking about Roosevelt's New Deal is the extent to which he brought ethnics into the mainstream of the country's life, you see, that for the first time in the country's history, Irish and Jews, Italians, Catholics felt they were accepted as real Americans. It was no longer the National Origins Act of 1924, which had really put the emphasis on bringing Northern Europeans to that's why Trump's recent talk about having Norwegians come in is really a kind of throwback to that 1924 legislation. And when Lyndon Johnson reformed that, changed it in 1965 with the newer modern immigration statute, he said that old law was racist, you see. And so Roosevelt, while he didn't and wasn't able to change that legislative standard, he was much more open to dealing with and honoring, recognizing the ethnics. And that was partly Eleanor's contribution, too. She was someone with a larger vision of what the United States should be.
As we get into the last minute or so, what happened with the court packing? He didn't get out ahead of people, but this is his second term. A little hubris or what?
Yeah, I think he had won such a landslide election in 1936. Remember the famous saying that as Maine goes, so goes the nation, was the old saying. It was a Republican state. But in 1936, the saying became as Maine goes, so goes Vermont, because there were only two states that voted for Alf Landon against FDR. And so it had changed dramatically. So he had the wind at his back, he felt, and the Supreme Court impressed him as being a threat to the New Deal, and so he wanted to pack it with liberal justices who would approve his reforms. And, of course, it failed.
This is a Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Next, foreign policy and World War II.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS process is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Robert Dalek. He's just written Franklin D. Roosevelt, A Political Life. Bob, was he too cautious, tiptoeing, getting into war footing, and, you know, too much of a political, too much worried about isolationism while, you know, Jews were being killed and Nazis were just taking over countries at will?
Well, it was a very difficult time for somebody who was an internationalist. Like FDR, he had taken a page from his distant cousin Theodore's book, and he was a believer in the idea that the United States was a world power. The idea of isolationism had passed us by, that we needed to think in terms of what was happening in the rest of the world, not just in Europe, but in the Middle East and Asia, and of course Latin America was our backyard. But he understood that if he tried to get too far out front on the issue of American involvement in European power politics, there would be an uprising against him. And remember, when he runs in 1940 for a third term, he's breaking all the rules. The world was at war by that point, or at least Europe was at war, and the Nazis were driving ahead and had defeated the French, occupied France, and Britain was thrown back on its own resources. And people were very nervous about the advance of the war games for the Nazis. And so they were ready to think more in terms of what had to be done in the world. So Roosevelt, of course, gets the first peacetime draft passed, but that draft law says that you only serve for 1 year, and the men could not be sent out of the Western Hemisphere who were being drafted. Now, it's a sort of crazy idea. You draft men, put them in for a year, and then you send them home and dismantle the army that you built up. But that's what he understood people were willing to accept, you see. And what's so striking is that when that law came up for renewal in 1941, it passed the House of Representatives by one vote, a vote of 203-202. And it speaks volumes, I think, about the difficulty of overcoming the isolationist impulse. Of course, what really smashed that isolationist impulse was Pearl Harbor, was the fact that for the first time in American history, a surprise attack struck American territory. Of course, it was in the distant Pacific, but still, American sailors and soldiers and airmen were killed, and the significant part of the American fleet was sunk, and Americans were outraged. But they began to understand that we were now part of a larger world economy and a world system, and we couldn't just simply blink at it. And so it really brought us into the war in a solidified way, because everything Roosevelt had done before, including the destroyed bases deal of 1940, in which he gave overage destroyers to the British to set up a picket line in the English Channel against the potential Nazi invasion. He, of course, that draft law that I said he got passed, the buildup of the armed forces, these were very difficult to put across. And so he had to be enormously cautious. And the way he did it was to keep advising the public that we were not going to war, that what he intended was to build America's defenses. And people were accepting that. That was okay, you see. And so, and of course, he lied to the public in his last speech in that 1940 political campaign for the presidency, when all the time he had been saying, the United States will not go to war unless we are attacked by a foreign power. He essentially said, we'll not go to war. And so later, he came under a very sharp attack for having lied to the public. But, you know, it was campaign politics that he was practicing.
You know, it's interesting, too. He was very manipulative and lied right to Joe Kennedy's face, who Kennedy was almost treasonous over there in London. But he told him to his face, right, that he was going to support him for president just to make sure that he wouldn't cause any more problems.
Right, and that he was going to help his son become the governor of Massachusetts. And,
What do you think about, you've got Churchill and FDR and to some degree de Gaulle almost carving up the world after this thing. Was there too much haste? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, Jim, the priority was to win the war. That was number one. And for Roosevelt, number two was to move the public from isolationism to internationalism. And the way he did that was to mislead the public in thinking that after World War II, we were going to create a kind of Wilsonian world, universalism, as it was called in Wilson's days, the idea that the world would function in a harmonious way, that at the end of the war we'd have a kind of love fest with the Russians, the Chinese, the British, the French, you know. But he sent Wendell Willkie, who was his opponent in 1940, abroad on a an inspection mission. And Willkie came back from that in early 43 and wrote a book called One World. And in March of 43, it became the greatest nonfiction bestseller in American history. And the message in that book is that in every foreigner is an American waiting to emerge, you see. Everybody wanted to be like us. It was one world. And it was nonsense. And he had a meeting with Stalin in which he said to Stalin, you're educating your people so well in democracy, you're going to educate them and push yourself out of a job. And he says Stalin laughed heartily, as well he might have at this naive American, you see.
Do you think, did we give too much away to the Russians? I mean, conceding all of Eastern Europe and, you know, not being tough on Poland?
The Russians, George Kennan, the great diplomat and historian, later said that this was the price we paid for the Russians tearing the guts out of the Nazi war machine, which, of course, they did at a price of 25 million lives. They suffered terribly in that war under the Nazi occupation and the bombardment. And they were there in Eastern Europe. The notion that we could get them out, or that we should go to war with them over Poland, you see, was ludicrous. And so Roosevelt was a realistic foreign policy maker in this sense. Not that he didn't have some naivete. He did, and he had, I think, excessive hopes about how there could be friendship with Russia. But at the same time, he was suspicious of them. Indeed, in 1944, you have the Quebec Conference with Churchill, and Churchill and Roosevelt come back to Hyde Park, New York, and they sign there an aide memoir, an agreement that they were going to hold back the secret of the atomic bomb, which they were building, from Stalin and the Soviets. Right. Now, why? Because he so loved Stalin? No, because he didn't trust him. He had doubts that we were going to remain on the best of terms with them, and he wanted that atomic bomb as a kind of trump card and ace up his sleeve to restrain the Russians in the future. So he had a public face and a private face, and the private face was much more of a realistic foreign policy maker than he gave led people to believe.
All right, the fascinating. Let's do in the last minute the flawed side of his legacy, the failure to really move civil rights forward, and of course the Japanese American internment.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, on African American rights, he would never support an anti-lynching bill because he was so wedded to the Southern politicians who held all these committee chairmanships in the Congress, and he wanted to get his New Deal programs through. But the irony is that at the end of his life, at the end of his New Deal, black voters had left the Republican Party and were voting for the Democrats in substantial majorities. And, of course, blacks remain a central part of the Democratic Party support base to this day. And so, in a sense, Roosevelt didn't do much for them, but the New Deal did. And because they were recipients of that safety net which Roosevelt was putting in place, and because Eleanor Roosevelt was a spokesperson for them. Indeed, she supported the idea that black aviators, for example, who were trained in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, should be sent in to fight in the war. They had trained them and didn't want to send them in because of the color of their skin. Roosevelt, Eleanor fought for this. Franklin signed on to it, and they tallied maybe the best record of any air unit in World War II.
Final segment coming up, FDR in history.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans?
then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
And presidential historian Robert Dalek. Let's do the psychobabble first. We have a guy crippled by polio and fights the depression, the deepest economic decline in the history, and World War II. Where does he get the resilience? Where does it come from inside to be able to do all this?
Yeah. Well, to begin with, Jim, he was a man who was sort of noblesse oblige. He was born to the purple, as they say. He was part of an American aristocracy, and he thought he had the perfect background to rule the country, to be its president, you see. And that gave him a kind of inner confidence. And I think the polio, which had so laid him low, and of course he never recovered fully from it. He was paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of his life, and he was afflicted beginning in 1921 when he was 39 years of age. So, but the polio, I think, drove him even more in the direction of his ambition, that it led him to crave even more the highest rung to be president. And there are no surviving photographs of his disability from his 12 years in the White House, that they were, the photographers, the journalists were forbidden from writing about it, and from talking about it, and from photographing it.
Did the average American know he was crippled?
Well, they knew that he had suffered from polio, but I think what they believed was that he had largely recovered, you see. And this psychologically was a huge boost to Roosevelt's leadership in the Depression, because the attitude was, look, this man came back from this awful illness and has largely recovered, and it was a kind of metaphor for what will happen to the country with Roosevelt's leadership of the Depression. He can overcome this depression the way he overcame his disability.
Amazing. Was it irresponsible? I mean, he died 3 months into the fourth term with a vice president who knew nothing that was going on. Was that all irresponsible?
Well, it was, I think, irresponsible for him not to have briefed Harry Truman, particularly about the building of the atomic bomb. But, you see, I think what happened, people can raise this question, should he have run again in 1944? Because Churchill's physician, as I told you, saw him as a dying man, and he was really quite ill by then. But the polls showed that if the war was still on, they wanted him to have another term. They wanted to vote him in again in 44, which they did. But if the war was over, they didn't want him to stay as president for a fourth term. Now, Roosevelt, knowing that, I believe, that he was reaching the limits of his physical capacity to do this job, he talked to this Daisy Sekley, who I mentioned before, about the possibility that he'd spend 1 year in a fourth term, he'd resign, and he'd become the head of an international peace organization, you see. So he thought about getting out because he was really exhausted by then by the demands. You can imagine what the burdens of that office were like.
Just amazing, and the courage. Now, we've had this long time Vietnam, Watergate, Nixon, Carter, Reagan ran against D.C., the growing disillusionment with government. The era of big government social programs is over, right?
Well,
the pendulum all the way over, in other words, to the other side.
But, Jim, it swings back and forth, you see. The minute you get some kind of economic crisis in this country or something else that disturbs the public, who do they look to? The mayor in their city? The governor of their state? They look to Washington to handle these big national problems, you see. And that, I don't think, will go away. And so the great historian Arthur Schlesinger wrote about the cycles of American history. You go through periods of conservative impulses and then progressive reform impulse. And right at the moment, we're going through a more conservative time. But, you know, this November 2018 election, I've been hearing some people say this is going to be a replica of 1964, which, of course, was the election in which Lyndon Johnson wiped out Barry Goldwater and the conservatives. And at that time, they said, you see, the Republican Party, the conservatives are finished. Well, hardly.
Do you think that the America First theme of Trump is just like what FDR was facing back then?
Well, it's different in that America First. Now, we're the most prosperous and richest and most powerful nation in the world compared to what was going on then. And the isolationism that Charles Lindbergh was leading at the time was a kind of a defensive posture. And I think this whole idea of America First now is just rhetoric. And yes, I mean, Trump is implementing some of it with his response to the various trade commitments we have and how he's dealing with foreign countries, but it won't last. I mean, I think that America is too rich, too powerful, too influential to really resort or return to anything resembling the isolationism of the 1930s.
It seems like FDR had the political nuance to not be authoritarian, but have that same sort of level of power. How do you sum him up, his legacy, as we finish?
Well, I sum him up by saying he was one of the three greatest presidents in American history. He led the country through the Depression. He led us to victory in World War II. And a friend of mine who was a retired diplomat, as to the Holocaust, he said, well, the only thing Roosevelt did was to defeat the Nazis, you see. Now, you know, Roosevelt's moral authority has been compromised by what he did with the incarceration of Japanese Americans and his failure to be more forceful in speaking out and working against the Holocaust. But on the other hand, he accomplished so much and was so courageous in struggling with these issues in the midst of his health crisis, personal health crisis, that he remains, in the eyes of most historians, and I think the public too, as one of the three great presidents of American history.
Great way to end it. Thanks to Robert Dalek. Been a very quick hour, and this is a monumental work, and it's all in one volume only, too, which I think is kind of cool. It's Franklin D. Roosevelt, A Political Life. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Our podcasts are available at iTunes, WYBC.com, TheBizTalkRadio.com, and you can get our commercial-free version on YouTube. Search BizTalk with Jim Campbell or go to Park City Productions 06604. Thanks to Robert Dalek. Thanks to our national audience for listening. See everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Kim.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.